So it's with great pleasure this morning that I introduce Reverend Mark Novak. He is the superintendent of the North Pacific Conference. As that superintendent, he is the pastor and chief executive officer supervising and promoting its work. He provides leadership in the areas of mission, pastoral care, congregational support, executive operations, and coordination with the ministries and resources of the Evangelical Covenant Church. Mark has also been extremely instrumental in helping Pastor Andrew in planting Columbia Grove Covenant Church here in East Wenatchee, and has been an enthusiastic supporter of our vision for the future. So it's with great respect, gratitude, and joy that I introduce Reverend Mark Novak.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to be here. It's really fun for me to be here. I haven't been here for several years, and to see how the church has grown and what you're up to is very exciting for me. One of the things I get to do is encourage my staff to plant other churches. And just so you know, we're planting 5 new churches this year. That's pretty exciting. So those of you who've been with us from the beginning, you know what it takes, so please pray, all right? And we're moving back into Montana for the first time in years. And so we're very excited about that, and pray for us. One of the things that I get to do is encourage churches as a superintendent. And I want you to be aware that as I preach this morning, I really preach to an audience of one. Okay? I preach to myself. So if there's something that kind of strikes you as, well, that's a little harsh, God's doing it in my heart. And several years ago, God gave me an idea to take one passage of Scripture for a whole year and simply study it over and over for a year. And what you're getting is part of my Matthew 25 study that I've been working with this year. And you get the middle part of the passage today. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that it's burning in my heart, and I want to share that with you. So if you would turn in your Bibles or just listen as I read Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 14 through the end of the section, verse 30. And I'm reading from the New Century Version, which is out of England. It's a little easier to read, and if you want to just follow along, just listen to the Word of God this morning. The kingdom of God is like a man who was going to another place for a visit. Before he left, he called for his servants and told them to take care of the things while he was gone. He gave one servant 5 bags of gold, another servant 2 bags of gold, and a third servant 1 bag of gold, to each one as much as he could handle. Then he left. The servant who got the 5 bags went quickly to invest the money and earned 5 more bags. In the same way, the servant who had 2 bags invested them and earned 2 more. But the servant who got 1 bag went out and dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master came home and asked the servants what they did with his money. The servant who was given 5 bags of gold brought 5 more bags to the master and said, "Master, you entrusted me to care for 5 bags of gold. So I used your 5 bags to earn 5 more." The master answered, "You did well. You were a good and loyal servant. Because you were loyal with small things, I will let you care for much greater things. Come and share my joy with me." Then the servant who had been given 2 bags came to the master and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of gold to care for. So I used your 2 bags to earn 2 more." The master answered, "You did well. You were a good and loyal servant. Because you were loyal with small things, I will let you care for much greater things. Come and share my joy with me." Then the servant who had been given 1 bag of gold came to the master and said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man. You harvest things you did not plant. You gather crops where you did not sow any seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your money in the ground. Here's your bag of gold." The master answered, "You are a wicked and lazy servant. You say you knew that I harvest things I did not plant, and that I gather crops where I did not sow any seed? So you should have put my gold in the bank. Then, when I came home, I would receive my gold back with interest." So the master told his other servants, "Take the bag of gold from that servant and give it to the servant who has 10 bags of gold. Those who have much will get more, and they will have much more than they need. But those who do not have much will have everything taken away from them." Then the master said, "Throw that useless servant out into the darkness, where people cry and grind their teeth with pain." Let's pray together. Father, as we look at this passage today, teach us, renew us, and refresh us for the week ahead. In Christ's name, amen. I have two very good friends that have classic cars. One has a 1960 Corvette. The month we graduated from college, he bought that 1960 Corvette. It now sits in his garage. It needs a paint job, needs a new transmission, needs a front end, and you can't even find it because it's got so much stuff piled on it. It just sits there. It's actually worth a lot of money to somebody, I guess, but it's never used. You can't even find it. And I keep telling him, bring it to my house. Put it in my garage. Let me see what I can do to get it running. Never uses this classic car. My other friend has a 1958 Plymouth Fury convertible. Baby blue. Absolutely gorgeous. Mint condition. He bought it in Minnesota, shipped it to Sacramento, California. And Dennis drives that car every chance he gets. His greatest joy is to put his grandkids in it and 13 other kids, because, you know, if you remember, 58 convertible is really big. Okay, we could actually have a party in the trunk this afternoon. And he just loves driving his car. And the grandkids, I'm driving in Papa's car. Sun is out, top is down. He says, I will not take this car and just park it. It was meant to be driven. It was meant to be enjoyed. In fact, he had another classic car at one point and actually let my son use it for senior prom. I thought, what are you thinking? But it was a DeSoto, so it didn't matter. Anyway, those are old enough to know what a DeSoto was. Folks, in this passage, we discover that God traded our sin, our selfishness, through Christ. And when he took our sin away, you know what he did? He replaced it with talents and resources and treasures so that we could now just not sit by, but we could get involved in the kingdom of God and use all of that for the sake of the kingdom. God saw that we were once selfish, making decisions that only pleased ourselves, and now calls us to be unselfish, to be generous, to take our talents and our gifts and use them for the kingdom of God, to invest it in other people and in this community. Now, the man going on the journey entrusted his cash, in this case, his talents, some translations say, to his slaves. Now, in that day and age, the slaves were so intimately a part of either the crops or the business that this was not unusual. The master really trusted them because they were intimately a part of his business, but he trusted them in this case. Now, while the reference is to gold, most translators, most people who study this passage believe in the broader sense Christ is telling us it's not just money, although it is, don't lose that. It's also the talents that God has given us, the gifts, and the resources that he's given to us. Big or small, God entrusts them to us to be used for the furthering of his kingdom. Now, if you're like me, remember I'm preaching to myself, sometimes I get tired. And I say, God, I'm kind of cruising right now. I just want to reserve my energy, want to reserve my resources, want to reserve my talents for another time. You know, maybe it'll be better next year. And he says, what are you waiting for? Now's the time. This is the time to seize the moment. Matthew 25, all of it, is about the urgency of the gospel. It's about the fact that the Lord may come back any time, and we better be about the business of the kingdom, because we don't know. It has an urgency to it. And folks, you are so gifted here and so blessed to have Pastor Andrew here. In my 13 years as superintendent, I have seen him continue to grow as a pastor. I've seen him continue to grow in his self-awareness, in his leadership skills, what he knows how to do, what he doesn't know how to do. And we're getting ready to build a building, maybe. Man, this is a great day. And people are having more conversations all the time in every coffee shop you go to about spiritual things. This is the time. I was in Atlanta in December with a group of young pastors, and they are doing stuff I can't even imagine. I wish I was planting a church again. I got to do that once in my career. And this pastor actually took this passage, and he obviously didn't know I was studying it for a whole year. And he said, this passage tells me to play the hand you're dealt. Some get five, some get two, some get one, but that's what you got. So what are you going to do with it? Three observations. We've got to touch someone with the talent that God has given us. Folks, if we keep it all here on Sunday morning or in our small group Bible study, we take it home and don't touch anyone with the good news of the gospel or the gifts that God has given us, we're going to lose it. It's not just about me or about you. It's about those who need to be touched with the good news of Christ. And I know what you're thinking, but sometimes others will mess it up. You know, I'll let them teach Bible study, but they might not do it as well as I will do it. So I'll just do it a little longer, and then maybe when they're older and more mature, we'll let them try. Folks, we're famous for giving people responsibility and then taking it back. And pastors are the worst, just so you know. I know, I am one. You see, people might invite a neighbor we don't really know very well to one of our potlucks, and that would be really uncomfortable for me, so please don't do that. I'll invite who I want. Or we might invite somebody on Easter who doesn't look quite like us, and they might not act like us, and that'd be really uncomfortable, so we just won't invite them. See, we can't do that. Here's a quote for you. The institutional church is too often the sacred burial ground of entrusted talents. Many have buried their talent in beautifully carved boxes of religious activity. Sometimes we're so busy talking about God, we forget what? To let God act in our lives and actually instruct us to go and to be and to talk about Him. But then we need to trust someone, because the church does not belong to us. Nothing does. Everything we have is a grace gift from God. Everything we've amassed, everything we've collected, even if it's antique cars, is just a gift from God. It's all a gift. And folks, you are in a position to entrust what you've been given to someone else. Think about those kids who were up here doing that song today. Think about the young people that are leading worship and those sitting out there. Will we disciple them and mature them in Christ and form them in His image so they will lead the church of the future? Will we let go and let them take some leadership and build into them the character of Jesus? They are the church of the future. Can we trust them? Can we trust God that He will do that? In this parable, my friends, our lives, the lives of our children, become assets for the kingdom of God. Be careful who you think God cannot use, for they all bear the name of God, for there is children made in His image. Paul was in my church in California when I served as a pastor. Paul grew up in that church, and at age 14, Paul began to use crank. For 15 years now, he just turned 40, but for the last 15 years, Paul's been clean and sober. But when he would show up at my house, higher than a kite, and come to church coming down off a four-day binge, I got to tell you, I didn't think Paul was going to make it to see the age of 40. And today, he's on the church council. Today, he leads a Bible study for his fellow motorcycle buddies. Today, he leads a Bible study for other people at Clean and Sober Living. Today, God has given Paul what? A new opportunity to use the myriad of talents that he has. And through all of his use of crank, God maintained his brain in an amazing way. He's now using it for the kingdom. Be careful who you think God cannot use, because God doesn't give up on what? Anybody. And then, trade your talent with someone. In other words, invest it somewhere. Find your meaningful place of ministry in the church or in the community. Look what God has given you. Look what He's given you to share. So often we're concerned with what we don't have instead of what we do have. Folks, Spokane First Covenant Church is seeing a little bit of resurgence today. We thought they were going to close by January. I was there 2 weeks ago. We had 70 people in worship, triple what it was a year ago. We fed after church 250 people that are homeless with 10 volunteers. There's 21 members in the church. There's 8 new ones coming in this month. And God is doing something. They've taken what God has given them and they're using it. And on the 26th of last month, a couple got married in that church with an old-fashioned potluck, peanuts and crackers and all that after church. The church was decorated when I got there the next day. He's been clean for a year. She's been clean for 6 months. And they fell in love and were married. And their lives are under Christ's lordship today. And the oldest member of the church came and said, they need a place to live and I've got a garage apartment. And if you help me clean it up, they can live there for very cheap so they can stay in tune with Christ and be a part of the church. That's taking what you got, and it might not be much, and using it for the kingdom. Folks, we got to make good use of this opportunity. We can't be like that one in the parable who was so afraid that fear gripped his heart and rendered him useless and helpless, and most of all, hopeless. So what did he do with his gold? He buried it in the ground. Buried it in the ground. One person has said that this servant's failure reflects his lack of love for his master, which he masked by blaming his master and excusing him. And the master actually was generous enough to entrust him with at least one talent. And fear gripped him. Here's the good news today, folks. God wants to multiply your talent. No matter how tired and worn out you are, let God re-energize you for this day. What are you waiting for? Time's running out. Again, Matthew 25 is about the kingdom not being far off. We have the privilege as followers of Jesus to be intimately involved in the coming of the kingdom by using our gifts and our talents and our resources. That's why they were given to us. We can move from a life of boredom and insignificance to a life of significance when we discover what God has given us to use. It makes all the difference in the world. Brett, you designed the cards. I couldn't do that. Celebrate that, church. Evan's leading worship today. Wasn't planning on it. I couldn't do that. Celebrate that, church. Had an elderly gentleman come to my church one Sunday. I met with him. I says, Grant, what do you like to do in the church? He says, I do one thing. Oh, great. One of those people that does one thing. So what's the one thing Grant does? He said, I greet people. And I never forget a face. Grant actually carried a little black book with him. And he'd meet you for the first time and he'd say, Sue, nice to meet you. I'm Grant. Look forward to seeing you next week. And as you walked away, he'd say, here, auburn hair, brown shoes, about 5'4". And he would describe in his little black book so he wouldn't forget a face the next Sunday. And as pastor, when we were doing a choirs class for people who wanted to become a member of the church, I would say, why'd you come back? Guess what they said? That old guy, Grant, knew my name every time I came back. He made me feel like what? I mattered. Didn't seem like much of a gift, did it? To me, to him, to the kingdom, it made a vast array of difference. Folks, there's only two choices. We either trade our talent and trust it to invest in someone's life, or we bury it. There is no third choice. We use it or we bury it. Now, the second part of the good news is this. When you do that, God transforms your life. He writes a new story. And your book of your life is rewritten chapter by chapter until the story is completed. Your old self can be the one who buried the talent out of fear, but the new one is the one who invested it with expectation, waiting to see what God would do with it. Lloyd Ogilvie has said, the Christian life is not the the conservation of values, but a confrontation with opportunity. We have been loved, forgiven, and healed in order to join with the Lord in the kingdom business. Wow. An opportunity. Last month, at a dinner party, I had a conversation with a very discouraged young man. He found out that I was a minister, and he said, you know, I used to be in youth ministry. I've given it up. I've given up on the church. I think I've even given up on the Lord. And he began to tell me a story, and he was so discouraged over tradition, over vitality, and over shallow obligations. And he kept asking me, does anybody care what our kids are going through? Does anybody care that it's all a sham? It's all image. Does anybody want to tell the truth and be real about life? For an hour, this mantra, is anybody real? Does Christ really matter? It was a heartbreaking conversation. To play the hand you're dealt, as my pastor friend said, means that we resolve to love and not hate, to see all people as our neighbors, and to act unselfishly, not seeking our own prestige. God then creates a new climate in your life, one full of springtime and promise. Verses 21 and 23 hold the key. Wonderful. You did well. You are a good and a faithful servant. My brothers and sisters, are we being faithful to developing the resources God has entrusted to us, and we all have them? It means the time is now for Columbia Grove. And for each of us as individuals, maybe this is the first day you've been confronted with the fact that you need to entrust Christ with your life and discover the myriad of gifts he wants to give you to be used. Whatever he's given you, play the hand. Let God multiply it. What are you waiting for? When we do it, God is glorified. And like the master's words, come share what? My joy. God says, come share my joy. And when you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and a smile breaks upon a person's face, who gets the reward? And who's glorified but God? In my Lenten reading, this time of year when we celebrate the price paid for us, this week I came across this from the Celtic Daily Prayer. It is not what we give of ourselves or our resources that is the measure of how we love. Again, it's not what we give of ourselves or our resources that is a measure of how we love. It's what we hold back. Don't hold back your talent, your treasure, your resources. Let God multiply it. Amen? Amen. Amen.